to look at. I mean, this is so much stuff. But I want to focus on Romans, because I believe if we get Romans, we get an understanding of Romans, we'll grab hold to some principles that I believe is going to really help us understand what this means when it says that God hated Esau. What does that mean? Does it mean in the sense that we understand hate? As when we hear the term or we read the term, we already going to have a definition. It's going to pop up. That's because that's how you understand language. That's why you can read. You know what words mean. Well, when you read in that way and we don't investigate what that means, we take it just at face value, right? God hated Esau. That's what it says. It's what it is. Well, then we have all sorts of other scriptures to contend with that talks about God is love, and God, and He teaches us to love our enemies and do good to them that hurt you and speak things against you. Wow. So what does that mean? So we have to look at that. So the goal in the portion is for us to kind of get wrap our mind around that and see it. But that's what I want to look at, and I want you to I want to give you a chance to look at that with us. So we'll start with Malachi, because that's where this thing kind of gets thrown out there for us to see. In Malachi chapter number 1. He's dealing with something here that he tells us. Now, Malachi is given the word. He's the prophet. He's a minor prophet. And the oracles of the word of Yahweh to Israel by Malachi. Verse number 2. I have loved you, says Yahweh. But you say, how have you loved us? It's a question. How have you loved us? Is not Esau Jacob's brother? It's another question. So the statement is, I have loved you, says Yahweh. Who says I love you? Yahweh. But you say, how have you loved us? Is not Esau Jacob's brother? All right, what do we start talking with Malachi the prophet's revealing what Yahweh says? And he says, starts out with what? I have loved you, says Yahweh. Okay, if you loved us, what about Esau? Let me see that. Because we're just following the questions, right? Declares Yahweh, yet I have loved Jacob, but Esau I have hated. I have laid waste his hill country and left his heritage to jackals of the desert. If Edom says, we are shattered, but we will rebuild the ruins, Yahweh of hosts says, they may build, but I will tear down, and they will be called the wicked country, and the people with whom Yahweh is angry forever. How long? Forever. That's some strong words. That's strong words there. For your eyes shall see this, and you shall say, great is Yahweh beyond the borders of Israel. Now this is kind of I want you to see why in Malachi he's talking. So he's dealing with this whole scene that took place in Genesis. So we take the portion of Genesis, that's our portion, and it tells us this story about this family. And this woman's pregnant, and she has twins, and before she's given birth, she has a problem already, because inside, she knows something's not right. It's not going right. It's not just normal pregnancy. There's something not right about this pregnancy. So what does she do? She seeks Yahweh for an answer. Right? And she was correct that it wasn't normal, because Yahweh replies to her and lets her know, you're right, it's not going to be, there's something going on here. There's a There's contention. And so the word goes forth that inside of you is going to be two nations. Going to be two. And the younger is going to rule over the older. And the oldest one, he's going to be a servant to the younger. When lo and behold, as the Lord said, she gives birth, and the oldest comes out, but the hand is on the heel. So Jacob's hand is on the heel of Esau, and this whole story starts to unfold. Now, we take the story goes on, the boys grow. Esau, he's firstborn. You can't undo him being firstborn. So he's firstborn, but in the course of their lives, Esau came to a decision of his own free will that what was promised to him as a firstborn didn't have any value anymore. It lost its value. Now, that doesn't, its value being lost is not because he looked at what he was going to get and to him it didn't matter. It was beyond that, because you have to understand, Yahweh hates his decision. He hated the decision. Why? Because he wasn't rejecting his future plan that was for him. He rejected the fact that it was Yahweh's plan. That's what he was rejecting. He was not settled, because he says, what good would it do me to have this when I'm going to die? I'm going to feel like I'm going to die. He had zero trust and faith that Yahweh was the sustainer, his protector, his keeper, all of that. That's not the bloodline of a true leader who will bear the cross. I mean, understand that. What's God protecting? He's protecting Mashiach. That's his job. He protects Mashiach. And so this is things unfolding. And anything opposes or opposition to Mashiach, the one who redeemed man, God's going to hate. He'll hate that. Now I'm going to show you the difference between a literal hate and the word hate. We're going to look at that word, because I think it's important. If we don't understand that word, we're going to miss a lot. Now, I want to go on in Malachi, because you got to truly understand this context. Excuse me. So, verse 6. Now, this is one of the verses I preached on not long ago, and I preached it when I was in Georgia. It's a powerful verse. So, we're still talking about this. Then he keeps on. He says, a son honors his father. Notice that. A son honors his father, and a servant his master. Now watch this, y'all. If then I am a father. How many believe Yahweh is our father? Remember that. Well, if we're talking about Elohim, if we're talking about Yahweh, if we're talking about the Father, we're talking about the same. They're all the same, right? So if then I am a father, watch what he says. Where is my honor? Where's my honor? That's the same word we use for glory there. Where's my honor? But it's translated honor here. Where's my honor? What if I'm a father, if you look at me as a father, then why don't you treat me with that respect? Remember, the word is also translated respect. Why don't you give me the weight I deserve? Remember? We can say he or she carries a lot of weight. What does that mean? They have a level of respect that a lot of people recognize. Or they have a wealth base that people recognize. Or they have authority base that people recognize. So because they don't have an authority, maybe they're a CEO of a company. So the CEO of the company comes. Let me give you an example. Let's just say you're working for a company down here, an oil field. I see you're in the oil field, and the main people are not always, they're not in the day-to-day thing. They have supervisors and different things that are out there. Well, the supervisor is given a certain authority to, and it's delegated to him by somebody that's an owner of that company, and they're out in the field and they're delegating, and they then they have somebody that they can give some power to and make decisions, and they're doing that. And then and standards and things can be let down through that process, because some people don't, you know, it's not my company or whatever. Can happen. But when the CEO shows up, those guys walk the straight line because they know that person carries enough weight that they can tell you, hit the road, Jack. And they know it. Now, the others can or maybe, you know, have some. But this guy, if he comes out in the field, everybody got the hard hat on. Everybody got the light jacket on. Doesn't that make sense? Why? Because he carries some weight. If he says, you're going, you're going. He run everybody off. He run the tugboat off, the barge off. You understand? Down to the rigger. Everybody walks a tight line. They all said, and before that, though, it's little slacks here and there. Little things happen. Well, you have to understand, we're talking about the Father. And if you don't give him that weight, that's exactly what Esau was failing to do. He wasn't recognizing that I got to keep my mind straight here. That we're dealing, because he said, if I'm a father, where's my honor? Where's my respect? Why, when I say something, there's no, you're not hopping to it. And he didn't. So can God literally hate that type of attitude and approach? Well, absolutely. The question is, did he love Esau? You see? Because he says, I love Jacob, but Esau I hate it. Well, let me ask you this question. We read in Genesis, we just went through it. Isaac loved Esau. And Rebecca loved Jacob. Did they have mutual opposite feelings toward the other sibling? No, they favored one over the other. I will submit to you, when God says, I love Jacob, but Esau, I hate it, it was a favor. He favored one over the other. Now, I can say that, but I don't have to show you, right? I didn't just want to say it. Even though it makes sense, but I want to show you that. I want to show you in the text, in the Bible, in the scripture, because that's important. Because we got to, how many want God to favor you? There was times that, listen, there's things I said and done God didn't favor. That meant he hated me at that particular moment. Not with the hate we all think about. But he's not going to let that kind of blood flow, because it won't be the victory at Calvary that we need. Remember, we got to have a sinless lamb, without spot, without blemish. Where's that at? We got to keep reading Malachi. Remember, Malachi is important. You can read the Genesis account. That's the story. That's the base. Now we got to understand Genesis. How do we understand it? By the prophet, Malachi, because he unfolds this. It's so powerful. Let me tell you, you just get excited. You read this, you go, wow. This is, your brain just goes, starts moving with all this information. And so I just want to thank God. He's so good to us. Now watch this. A son honors his father, a servant his master. If I then am a father, where's my honor? If I'm a master, where's my fear? Says Yahweh of hosts to you, O priest. Notice to who it is. To the priest who do what? Despise my name. You're not recognizing my name. Because if you would recognize my name, you wouldn't do what he's going to tell us they did. Now watch what they did. Despise, but you say, how have we despised your name? Watch what he says. By offering polluted food upon my altar. See, and so what Esau was actually doing, he was offering up the pollution of, if I die, what's the point in keeping it? The point is, that's what the plan of God was. Don't reject the plan of God. He said, I would that none perish. But you can perish. You can perish. And it's the will of man that comes into play that causes that reverse. Now, we got to get to the verse where it says before they were born, they didn't even have time to be born or breathe the air, that God had made that decision. Well, there's a reason behind that, right? Because God knows. the heart attitude and how it would develop. So let's look at this. By offering polluted food upon my altar, but you say, how have we polluted you? By saying that Yahweh's table may be despised. Really? May be despised? When you offer, watch this, blind animals in sacrifice, is that not evil? Remember we read, he said, you have a 1-year-old ram. You have one, but you don't offer that one. We ain't giving you that one. Well, it all goes back to the garden. It's the same approach. It's the same thing. Listen, if the first Adam would have done it, there would be no need for a second Adam. But the first Adam, he kind of offered up whatever it was. Well, Lord, you know, you just got it. This is what it is. The best I can give you. Well, the best do you just, listen, a lot of times the best man can give is not going to be the thing that appeals to God. And that's what people do. They go to church. Well, I'm doing the best I can. Well, you got to check the best you can, because if it don't please God, we got to change that. Right? Our best, if it don't please, what does God think about it? What is he saying about it? That's why we got to humble ourselves before the Lord our God and say, God, I need you every day. It's not just way back when I felt you. It felt so good. I never wanted to leave that spot. But what about today? I need thee. Every hour I need thee. That's important. So watch this. He says, he asks this question, is that not evil? And when you offer those that are lame or sick, is that not evil? Present that to your governors, will he accept you or show you favor, says Yahweh of hosts. So we look at this and we see this. I can't read it all, but you can keep going. And that's what he's dealing with. It's the presentation, it's the heart attitude. It's and listen, God knows. Listen, you can be tired, and not even hardly able to read 4 or 5 verses without nodding off. But if your heart attitude is the fact that you just want, you hunger to be at that moment, God will honor that. You understand? He'll honor that. But to say, well, I'm not doing it. I just don't feel like doing it. Then you get that result. The result that comes with that, because God sees that, where's my honor? What do you mean you're not? You got to have that time where you say, you know what, Lord? Oh, I'm thankful for everything that's happening, but the most important thing to me is you. You're everything. And so I wanted you to see that in Malachi, because that's going to be quoted in Romans 9. Paul's going to quote that in Romans 9. And it's very hard to understand that in Romans if we're not looking at Malachi, seeing its context anyway. All right, so Romans chapter 9. Now that we got that established, we can see that. I want to point out something to you. Did God hate Esau? If so, can't we say God hates a lot of other people too? Can't we say that? Because listen, if God hates Esau, because let me just tell you, Jacob was no poster child. If we're going to deal with that, right? So we got to figure out if Jacob was no, I mean, it was they deceived. They were deceptive. They lied. And we read other places where God says, I hate those things. So the things Jacob was doing, so we have to look at that and say, what does this mean? How can he love this guy? They was all in the same boat. But there was something that caused God to say that. What is it? We got to find that out. There's a reason. So, first, one of the things that I want to make clear to everybody, God has a genuine love for the world. That's everybody in the world. He has a genuine love for the world. And I can give you scripture after scripture, for God so loved the world. I mean, and you can go on and on. All throughout scripture, we see that. The Bible commands us to love our neighbors and to love our enemies and do good to them that wrongfully do things to us? Wow, I don't want to do that. But he tells us to. So if he's saying do it, then why wouldn't he do it? You know, you think God's going to say, you need to do this, but I'm not going to do it because I hate Esau. You understand? So you start looking at all the text, and it doesn't make sense that he makes that statement. And people literally take that. They take it in to mean what we think a defined hate to be. Well, I really want to look at that. Now look at verse number 10 of Romans 9. We'll read it, and then we'll go further in it. And not only so, but also when Rebekah had conceived children by one man, our forefather Isaac, though they were not yet born, notice that they were not yet born and had done neither good nor bad. Okay, so okay, they didn't do anything, and we got this statement. Oh boy. In order that Elohim's purposes of election might continue. That right there, you need to underline that. Okay? Yet that part in your Bible, in your Torah portion, you need to underline that portion right there, because if you don't get that, you miss the whole story behind Esau and Jacob. I'm going to read it again. In order that Elohim's purpose of election might continue. Why do we need that? Because we have no Savior outside of that. It has to continue. Well, it continued. Let's go back to Abraham. Abraham had how many sons? Yet God recognized one son. He had Ishmael first. Ishmael was born to him before Isaac was born to him. Yet he tells Abraham, Elohim, or Yahweh tells Abraham, take thy son, thy only son, Isaac. Who did he tell him? You take thy son, thy only son, Isaac, and go and sacrifice him to me. What are we dealing with? We got to make sure that the purposes of Elohim continue. We got to make sure it continues. Now, did he give a blessing after the whole scene? Was Isaac blessed? The blessing comes, blessing. But did he give Ishmael a blessing? Yeah. What you blessing people you hate for? See, you got to lose the definition that Webster talks about when you're dealing with hate. You got to lose that definition. We got to look at the biblical principle of why he's using that term, because it's important. He blessed Ishmael, okay? Esau comes in late, right? We read the whole story, the Torah portion. He comes in, his daddy doesn't eat, doesn't give the blessing. He comes in, he makes it, he goes in, I'm here. Well, who are you? I don't eat. I don't give the blessing. But what about me? Do I get anything? He gave him a blessing also. Right? So he got a blessing. Now remember, that blessing was given by Isaac, but acknowledged by God. Very important. Was Ishmael's blessing acknowledged by God? You better believe it was. That blessing was acknowledged by God, and God held to that same blessing. To this day, that lineage still is underneath that same blessing. Same thing with Esau. So I want to make, it's not clear cut. God loves Jacob, hates Esau. That's not clear. This is bigger than just saying that. And we have to understand that, because if we don't understand it, we're going to fail to grab hold to the merciful hand of God that's been on our life when we found ourselves in the same boat Esau was in. And then we find ourselves in the same boat Jacob was in. And to be frank with you, neither one of them is all that. But what's the purpose? To make sure. Remember, to make sure in order that Elohim's purposes of election continue. Not because of works, but because of him who calls. It's not to make somebody small or great. He's better, you're not as good. It's not that. Now you have to understand, Esau, when he's asking for the blessing, he wanted to make sure he got some stuff too. Remember, because Isaac's blessing on Jacob was, man, you're going to be blessed, you're going to have a lot of stuff. But Esau was focused on, I want a lot of stuff. God's focused on the bloodline. Who's going to be born next? is what God's focused on. We got, okay, Esau. Can you imagine Esau having 12 tribes come out of him? With the same type of approach and attitude, we'd have ourselves a mess. But out of that, Jacob's 12 tribes comes out of Jacob. Eventually, we're going to have that Judah tribe. It's going to come out of that. Did Jacob have some issues? He had issues. You better believe it. But he learned some lessons. There's some wrestling matches had to take place. You see, Esau this whole time, he's angry. He's dealing with anger. Can't get over things. And so I think as a people, we flip-flop a lot of time from Esau to Jacob. Esau to Jacob. And we got to be careful because if you're going to... In Esau, it's always going to be about dealing with anger and can't get over things. You can't get past things. Jacob, even though he started as a deceiver and he played in this whole thing, and his mama played that role, but he had to learn a lesson. And God, he didn't just say, oh yeah, Jacob, you come in, you got it, it's clear cut, it's all yours. He had wrestled with this thing. He had to fight over these things. And finally, he came to the place and he lifted up his eyes and saw the place. He said, this is it. And he finally got to a spot where he could humble himself. And he laid down and the dream came. His life changed after that. It really did. And so I think that willingness to... But we see in the Esau's... It's just kind of stayed with him. It stayed with him. It was a bad thing. So in order that the Elohim's purpose of election might continue, not because of works, but because of him who called, she was told... This is what she was told by Yahweh. She went and prayed. The older will serve the younger... As it is written, Jacob I love, but Esau I hated. That's some tough words right there. What shall we say then? Because we got it's a strong statement. It's a quote. Remember, it's in quotation that came from Malachi. So what shall we say then? Is there injustice on Elohim's part? Injustice. Why would he ask that question? Why would Paul ask that question? Because we're not dealing with two poster childs here. Is there injustice on God's part? By no means. By no means. For he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will recompense on whom I will have recompense. So then it depends not on human will. How many see that? Not on human will or exertion, but on what? On God, on Elohim, who has mercy. Thank you, God, for mercy. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for having mercy on me. Now, understand this. We got to love our enemies. It gives us verses on that all throughout the scripture. I don't have time to go over all those. But wouldn't it be kind of ridiculous for the Bible and Jesus to command us to love everyone, including our neighbors and enemies, if God himself was going to choose, you know, he's making a choice to do something opposite? That would be ridiculous. So we know that God doesn't do that. So what does the Bible mean when it says God hated Esau? I believe the clearest way to explain this is to go to the book that we just read in Romans, which we did, and we look at that one verse, verse 13, and we see what he's saying there. And the verse is a repeated saying from Malachi, as it is written, I have loved Jacob I have loved, but Esau I have hated. The Greek word that is used for hate is misio. So misio. Misio, according to Strong's, misio basically means having a relative preference for one thing over another. A relative preference for one thing over another by way of expressing either aversion from or disregard for the claim of one's person or thing relatively to those of another. So I want you to understand that. So what God is saying He'd rather. It's the same thing we find in Esau. Isaac loved Esau and Rebekah loved Jacob. Meaning Isaac's preference was Esau. Rebekah's preference was Jacob. Didn't mean that Isaac hated Jacob? No. But the word would have been what we use for hate. The word they would have used would have been in like reference, but not meaning what we define hate as. Okay? And it's important to understand that. Very important. But let me give you this and we're going to close. There is another verse that also uses missio that can clear this up a little more. Luke 14, verse 26. Okay, Luke 14, verse 26. Jesus says, if any man come to me and hate not his father. Same word. Now, do you believe that if you come to Jesus, you got to hate your father? Would like we define hate? That's a crazy thought. Same word. So if anyone comes to Christ and hate not his father. You know, people read that and they go, man, this stuff's so confusing. That's because we'll quickly use English definition of hate when it comes to Esau because we don't like Esau. He chased Jacob and made a mess of everything. He sold his birthright. He's just a useless piece of trash. And God didn't like him, and I don't like him. Right? So if somebody says, oh, you got a boy? Yeah. What's his name? Esau. Ain't nobody naming their kid Esau. Am I saying the truth or not? How many boys you know named Esau? We got him named Jacob. We got him named Isaac. We don't mind that. But we ain't naming him Esau because of that statement. So I don't know if you give this thought, but I sit down and think about these things. I went, well, pray do tell. Nobody's naming their kid Esau. I mean, every red-headed kid with hairy arms ought to be named Esau. I mean, that's just the way it should be. But nobody is because of that. And it's a preference statement. It's because we apply English definition to Scripture. It's no wonder there's so much confusion because nobody wants to sit back a little while and say, okay, Lord, I don't know what this means. I'm confused. And just meditate on it and He'll let you know. He'll tell you. I go to God and God will show me things in the Scripture. And it's not because I'm doing anything special. I'm asking Him. And I admit to Him, I don't know what it means. I'm confused because I'm looking at this and it says you hate, but then I read this and it says you love. What is it? And you telling me to love the person that you said you hate. Why you want me to love them and you hate them? And I'm supposed to be following you and doing what you do. It's because we have to understand what it means. How many's understanding it better now? So Luke 14:26 helps out. If any man come to me and hate not his father and his mother and his wife and his children and his sister, yea, in his own life. Oh boy, that thing gets deep, huh? Got to hate everybody. I ain't going to church because you got to hate everybody. Got to hate your mama, your daddy, your kids, your wife. I ain't going. And there's some people today ain't going because of that reason. And what does he mean there? Because we don't clear up that statement. Man, the Bible teaches you to hate. It's a book of hate. Really. So, hopefully you'll see that, and we can at least use this to help clear up some things for people. So, did Jesus mean we have to hate all of these people to be His disciple? The answer, in short, no. What Jesus was saying is that we should love Him more than any of them. Love them more than any of them. He must be first. How many believe that? He must be first. So there is an issue when it comes to commitment. And here's what God says in Malachi. If I'm the father, that's a commitment, right? If you're the father, if you're going to father somebody, that's a commitment. You're fully committed. I mean, that's yours. And that's what we have today. We have guys who don't realize that they made the commitment. They fathered a human being. And they don't realize that. But here's God. And we don't wrap up God the Father with all the fathers that don't realize that, because he's nowhere near that. He said, if I be a father, I'll be your father, then where's my honor? Think about that. Let me just, how many believe that Yahweh is the creator of everything? All right? Well, he could have went somewhere else, started over, and just made another race and left that one that was just tore up everything. Go on, do what you want. And when there would be nobody alive right now that has been gone. But he loves his people so much. He said, if I'm your father, I started this. I took the dust from the ground. I scratched and molded and made it and put it in my image and likeness. And I breathed my own breath. And man became a human being. If I'm your father, I'm the one started you out. Where's my honor? Where's your love for me? Where's the glory I deserve? It all comes back to the glory. When you look into my glory, you'll be instantly changed. That was the bottom line. Esau did not have a genuine love for the purpose and plan of God. It was all about him. What he can get now. What's going to happen for me now? If I don't get food now, I'm going to die. What's the good for me to have a future if I'm dying today? That's crazy thinking. What about God giving you strength to make it through the day? If he's your father, where's his honor? Don't you believe he's able to give it to you? Life? No, I don't believe it. You know what? I ain't giving him this one male that I have that's strong without spot and blemish. I'm going to give him the blind animal, because if I give him this one, then all I'm going to have is blind animals. I'm going to be broke. Well, you don't trust God? Did you give him your best, that he'll provide you the best? You see what I'm saying? It's a genuine love for him. And let me tell you, when you arrive there, you don't make sense to people. You get weird. You become weird to them, because they can't figure out why you can't get over the fact that you want to be with him wherever you can, anytime you can. It don't matter how tired you are. You push yourself because it's him. Now, if I had something else planned, I could tell you. I'd tell you in a heartbeat. I ain't going. I'm too tired. But when it comes to him, you push yourself because he's your father. And I'm going to give him honor. Well, you just watch. You do that, when it all comes down to it, that father's going to step in for you. And that's what I want. I want him to step in for me. But that's what he's talking about. He said, I can't stand that type of mentality. You can't be in that mentality. And he said, I can't stand that. So he chose Jacob over Esau because of that. And I can tell you, the line of Esau would have never brought us the Savior. Wouldn't have brought it. And the same thing with me. If I lean to the Esau mentality, it's going to be very difficult. Let me just tell you this. You're going to be on the broad road that leads to destruction. And many find that. But the only few get on the straight and narrow. And it took some wrestling to get Jacob there. It did. It took some wrestling, but he got there. He finally got there, and that's what brought victory. So I hope this helped you. It was just something that struck me. And I said, you know what? I want our church to understand what is he actually talking about when he talks about this hate. Because if you want to ask God, did you love Esau? He loved Esau. But he didn't like Esau's attitude, his approach, and his not recognizing who God is. God's not going to approve. Why would he approve of that? He don't approve it from me or anybody else. It's the same thing. He loves me, but he's not going to approve of that approach. Because it's not becoming who the Father is. We ought to... let me ask you, what bad can you say about the Father? Where did he forget you and leave you and didn't do anything for you? He said, if I be a father, where is my honor? How can you have the lamb I need and not give it to me? You think I'm just going to rob you? How many think God's here to rob you? He ain't here to rob us. But he asks of us sometimes things that stretches us. Not because he's trying to get in our business. He wants it better for us. That's why he does it. So that's what I had on the Torah portion. Anybody else?